Welcome, truth seekers. It's the Mike Malloy Show, and it is I. No, not Mike Malloy. No, not Laura Flanders, who was sitting in earlier this week. It is I, your friendly, humble citizen guest. Well, not guest. Guest host, but citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. We're here all night long. Delighted to be here. We're going to be here for the rest of the week, including tomorrow's big vice presidential debate. We're going to be carrying that in its entirety, or as much as we can sneak in, followed by a big bloggers roundtable. The hell with Chris Matthews. Who needs him and his professional spinners? We'll have our own spinners here in studio with us, actually quite a few of them. David Dayan from Calitex is going to be here, and Digby. Mark Danziger, Pamela Levy from the Democratic Daily, Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel will be with us tomorrow night, although by phone, she's not in town. Town? That's here, Los Angeles, where I'm broadcasting live for the next 3 hours, and I'm glad you could join us. It's going to be a big night. We're going to have coming up this hour, Murray Wass from ABC, Harper's Atlantic. He's going to join us to talk about some of the news that you may not have heard much about, seeing as how the media can only cover one story at a time, apparently. The story this week, obviously, is the economy and the debates. Those are the one story that they're covering at the same time. Not doing a very good job of either of them. What they haven't covered is the IG's report that came out concerning the U.S. attorney purge firing that happened over the last several years. We're going to talk to Murray Wass about that. Yeah, the White House is in trouble. Speaking of trouble for the White House, we're going to be joined by Cliff Arnebeck a little bit later on to discuss the latest developments in Ohio in a pretty extraordinary case. I know Laura Flanders had Mark Crispin Miller on earlier this week to talk about it a bit. This is an old standing election fraud case in the state of Ohio going back to 2004. Well, the judge has just lifted the stay, and some depositions have been, some subpoenas have been issued in hopes of getting a deposition from a fellow by the name of Mike Connell, who is the GOP high-tech guru, not just in Ohio, but all around the country. He was the guy behind the Swift boating Swift boat group. He was the guy who installed the firewall in the Congress. Yes, in the U.S. House Judiciary Committee. He's still working with John McCain. Anyway, he has been subpoenaed, and the judge has cleared the way for a subpoena of Karl Rove. We're going to talk about that with Cliff Arnebeck, the Ohio attorney who is handling the case out there, and which is moving forward quite quickly and interestingly. We'll also take your calls at 800-989-1480 as I can fit them in. I'm going to have Desi Doyen also later today with the Green News update. I was filling in for Randy a couple of weeks ago, and here was Desi sitting there ready to go with the Green News update, and I completely forgot it. That's what happens when you hire amateurs to do the radio shows. Speaking of amateurs, stop on by bradblog.com and jump into our open thread. It's at the very top of bradblog.com. The lovely, if sometimes irritable, Agent 99 will be your hostess in the open comment section. I will do my very best to keep an eye on that and so much more for the rest of the night. Let's start with, by the way, in the Senate. Right now, everybody probably knows, the Senate is getting ready to vote on this bailout package, this ridiculous... we'll talk about that later. And the rest of the mainstream media chum, although I like to report on things that don't quite get the coverage that are deserved. For example, right now, and this actually came out from the mainstream media last night, I was pretty impressed, CBS News, Katie Couric had a report showing that massive voter purges are taking place in 19 states. Hello, people. Hello, Obama. Hello, Democratic National Committee. Where the hell are you? Thousands of voters are being removed from the rolls. The rolls have now been computerized and taken over by the very same private companies, ES&S, Diebold, Sequoia. The same ones that did such a lousy job with the voting machines that don't work around the country have now been rewarded and given contracts to run the rolls, the voting, the registration rolls. And, of course, what do you know? Thousands and thousands of people in all kinds of states around the country, including battleground states such as Ohio, Michigan, Florida, these folks are being purged from the rolls. I'm going to say it now. I'm probably going to say it another 20 times tonight. Check your registration. Even if you've been registered, even if you voted in the primaries recently, check it again. You can go to Brad Blog. Well, go to straight to votersunite.org. There's a link right over there that says, are you registered? And you can find out in all 50 states if you are, because I promise you, the bad guys are out there trying to keep you from voting this year. And they're working real hard at it, and they're real successful at it. And check out this report from CBS News. We got it over there at bradblog.com. And I will answer your questions all night on issues like that, on voting machines. That's what we cover quite a bit over at Bradblog. Because, frankly, the rest of the media is not paying attention to this. And to make things worse, neither is Barack Obama or the Democratic National Committee. I have no idea why. Perhaps it has something to do with this. They think they're going to win. A new poll out today in a Quinnipiac poll in three different battleground states. Barack Obama up 8 points in Florida, 8 points in Ohio, up 15 points in Pennsylvania. That's if you believe the polls. Now, I know a lot of people have said, I can't believe those polls back when they were tied. Nobody believed them, right? Well, I wouldn't believe them now either, frankly, because there's going to be quite a few meltdowns that are going to occur between here and November. There's going to be a lot of surprises on Election Day, as I called the massive voter purges going on in 19 states. The November surprise, I think we're going to be rather stunned when we get there in November. The Democrats are going to be rather stunned. The Republicans are going to be grinning from ear to ear. Let's see this report from Ross Story. The Democratic candidate, Barack Obama, has surpassed 50% in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida, and he holds a lead over McCain of 8 to 15 points in those states. In Florida, it's Obama with support from 51% of voters to McCain's 43%. In Ohio, it's Obama 50 to 42. Pennsylvania gives Obama his largest lead, 54 to 39, if you believe the polls. The poll reflects a small bounce compared to Obama's pre-debate numbers, reflects more voter confidence in his ability to handle the economy, so says Quinnipiac. But remember, Pennsylvania. And remember, I'm telling you this here and now. Pennsylvania, the Democrats who run the state there just came out with an edict that nobody has to give any voters any paper ballots unless every single voting machine breaks down in a precinct. What? Are they crazy? Yeah, they might be. Crazier still is the fact that, it doesn't seem that Barack Obama and the Democrats are doing anything about it. There's some other groups out there. 888myvote.org. They're doing something, National Lawyers Committee, but the Democrats and Barack Obama, nowhere to be found, as far as I can tell. Not good news. We'll talk about more about those polls. We'll get your opinions on them as you like. 800-989-1480. That's 800-989-1480. Brad Friedman in all night for Malloy. We're going to come up, Murray Wass coming up from ABC News. Oh, we're going to get the bad guys. We're going to work on it. We're going to get them one way or another. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stay with us. Brad Friedman in for Malloy tonight. Welcome back to the show. Stop on by bradblog.com. Jump into the open thread there. I'm going to do my best to keep my eyes on it. I want to go to Murray Wass here, a great investigative journalist, one of my favorites. Of course, that's not saying much because there ain't many left out there. But anyway, Murray Wass from ABC, Atlantic, Harper's, joins us to talk about the latest in this U.S. attorney firings, which, of course, no one is paying attention to. This extraordinary 389 pages, Murray?
I think so.
Something like that, yeah, with footnotes. A report came out, and not a single question was asked at the White House press conference the following day. I guess it just doesn't matter when you use politics to fire nine U.S. attorneys, nine Republican U.S. attorneys. Murray Wass, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you for having me.
I know you got the flu. You feeling hanging in there tonight?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Much appreciate you being with us. So this report comes back from the IG. This is the Department of Justice's own IG. And what are the – well, tell us what the main findings are before we get into the weeds a bit.
Well, aside from the findings, one of the things that despite the 300 and some pages and footnotes and documents and so many interviews that they did, the IG and another – watchdog agency came back. It was a joint report between two different investigative forces in the Justice Department. They said they couldn't get to the bottom of a lot of it because the White House, a number of White House officials, Karl Rove, Harriet Myers, the White House counsel at the time, a number of deputy White House counsel and associate White House counsel, all these officials working at the White House refused to give interviews to their own Department of Justice.
They did not have the same executive privilege opportunity that they invoked in the with Congress. They're supposed to cooperate with their own Department of Justice, correct?
Well, the Department of Justice is in the executive branch, and the White House leads, the president is in charge of the executive branch. So there's not, the whole executive privilege legal argument is based on this separation of powers, Congress, and so forth.
And what was the excuse?
There's actually an extraordinary statement in the report that says that the White House counsel told Karl Rove, they told their own former counsel that they could cooperate with the investigation. Not only could they, but they encouraged them to. So here we have...
Was that Fred Fielding, Murray?
Right, Fred Fielding
instructed Karl Rove to go ahead and talk to them, and then Karl Rove said, I'm not gonna... What reason did he give?
He didn't give any. He just they didn't show up. They didn't return the call. This particular part of the Justice Department doesn't have subpoena power because what it does is it does ethics investigations within the Justice Department itself. So that's why we have the Attorney General now saying, okay, if they refuse to cooperate, we're going to set up a federal grand jury and have a federal prosecutor look at this. But I think it... Again, what's so kind of extraordinary is the message it sends. I think one of the things that's not coming out in this is the message it sends to the ordinary citizen. Like if we're a victim of a crime, if we witnessed a crime, if we're interviewed by the FBI or Justice Department, we're expected. It's our civic duty, civic responsibility to cooperate. When people in the White House thumb their noses not at Congress or the press, but at the Department of Justice in their own executive branch, sends a message right from the President of the United States.
Well, sure it does. But I wrote about this last week at the Guardian, UK Guardian, that we are officially an outlaw nation. And the fact is, you know, Rove didn't show up for the U.S. House when they subpoenaed him. He didn't show up to talk to these people. And what happened up in Alaska? Sarah Palin's wife, Todd, and five others decided they didn't need to answer subpoenas either. I mean, a fish rots from the head down, Murray, and that's what's going on. People are realizing, oh, we don't need to bother. Let me break into myself here with a bit of breaking news. 60 senators have voted yes for the financial rescue bill. As who's calling it that? That would be Yahoo is now calling it a rescue bill. I guess Fox News determines what that's going to be called. So 60 senators have voted For the bailout bill, the House, of course, still has to pass that. We'll see what happens there.
Is Congress going to bail us out, too?
They ain't bailing anybody out. If you ain't a banker, you get nothing.
I haven't been really paying attention to that story.
Yeah, believe me, you don't want to.
You mean we get nothing?
You get nothing.
Or we get something indirectly.
Well, let's see, has your house been foreclosed?
I rent, thank God.
All right, well, if your house had been foreclosed, you would still get nothing, if I understand it. However, the people who own your mortgages, they'd get something, and it's a mess. But let's not get too far afield. We'll get back to that that nightmare a little bit later, media chum, as I like to call it. In any case, and we got to get to a quick break here, but so Rove just decided he's not going to show up. There's no information in the report as far as an excuse that he gave. He just showed up.
Didn't actually say anything. Some of the other people, there are a number of senators, two senators, worked really hard for the removal of a couple U.S. attorneys in L.A. And in that case, Pete Domenici, the outgoing senator, also just thumbed his nose.
He sure did. And he, along with Heather Wilson in New Mexico, were these folks who were pushing this voter fraud nonsense that is at the very heart of the election that we're looking at in the next couple of weeks. Speaking with Murray Wass from ABC News of late, we'll take your calls for him, 800-989-1480. And a whole lot more ahead. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com sitting in. Delighted to be here all night long. Check out the chat room. Say hello to Agent 99. We're back with much, much more right after this. 90 minutes from New York to Paris. Well back, 76 will be hell. What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be. Oh, that's more like it. I got the feeling that something ain't right. No, it ain't. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. I'm not gonna. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Clowns to the left and the right all voted for the $700 billion bailout tonight in the Senate. Just passed moments ago. Even the bottom of the hour news didn't seem to have it yet, but we got it. It's passed. It's done. It ain't gone through the House yet. They had to add a bunch of incentives like what? Tax breaks. Oh, good. That'll make the Republicans happy. More tax breaks. We're speaking with Murray Wass. Before we get to that, a quick correction. In the first segment, I noticed apparently Agent 99 over at BradBlog.com has instructed me that apparently I said Sarah Palin's wife, Todd. That would be my mistake. I apologize for that. Of course, Sarah Palin's wife would be Katie Couric. So we will talk about more of Sarah Palin, her discussions with Katie Couric. Hey, note to Sarah, stop talking to Katie. It ain't helping. Wait to hear what she had to say about abortion. Man alive. We will get to that later on in the show. Brad Friedman in from Malloy. Talking to Murray Wass. Okay, Murray, we're talking about this U.S. attorney firings, the IG's report that came out. It was actually the IG and the OPR, the Office of Professional Responsibility. They got together to create a report that, I got to tell you, sounded in the end a whole bunch to me like Fitzgerald's report on the Valerie Plame thing. They seemed to indicate, oh, the White House kicked sand in her face, so we couldn't figure it out. Am I correct on that?
Correct. The investigation was just severely hampered by the lack of cooperation from the White House. And despite that, though, they uncovered a lot of new information that the White House was behind several of the firings.
And what kind of new information? What kind of new information were they able to uncover?
Well, there was a guy, Todd Graves, who was the Republican U.S. attorney in Kansas City, Missouri.
Right.
He's a conservative Republican, but a great prosecutor. someone who wasn't talked about a lot in the press, because we didn't learn he was the knife man out, I called him in a column.
Right.
Because we didn't know about him until the end, but he was actually the first guy fired. And his home state senator, Senator Bond, not sure if his first name's Kit or Kip.
Kit Bond, yeah, in Missouri.
Had a feud with the U.S. attorney's brother, who is a congressman named Sam Graves.
Mm-hmm.
So the senator and the congressman had some disagreement over some local thing that had nothing to do with the Department of Justice. And because he was mad at the Graves brothers, he asked the White House to get rid of Todd Graves. And Todd Graves, who I know and have written about a great deal, had no idea why he was fired at the time.
Yeah, you have. And by the way, I'm not quite as crazy about him as I think you are. But the bottom line was the report indicates that it was just a spiteful little thing from Kit Bond, who said, I want these guys out. And the White House said, sure, we'll do it.
Yeah, the White House, the guy complained to the White House. Now, what they say in each of these cases, which I think is the case, is they're not, I think in this case, they might have jumped to the gun a little bit or came to a premature conclusion.
Because
they say, we don't know all the facts because we didn't get any documents from the White House.
Right.
We didn't get witnesses from the White House. We didn't get their cooperation.
Right.
And so we don't know what documents there are in the White House counsel's office, elsewhere in the White House, that they're, the thing that you like so much, voting fraud issues, might have played a role in his firing as well. Or might have even been, you know, the preeminent reason beyond.
Well, we know that it and they were able to confirm. Let's move over to New Mexico and David Iglesias, the U.S. attorney who was fired, who was definitely hit up by a number of Republicans. They were pressuring him to bring phony voter fraud cases. Of course, they didn't say they were phony, but in fact, they were. If you talk to, if you talk to Iglesias himself, they looked at it, thousands of charges of voter fraud that frankly didn't exist, and he said, no, I'm not going to bring these cases. Were they able to uncover further information, corroborate those details, the reports that folks like you had brought out on that issue earlier?
Well, David Iglesias primarily got fired because these Republican, New Mexico Republicans, were constantly complaining to the White House, and in particular, Senator Pete Domenici. The report says personally called Alberto Gonzalez three times complaining about David Iglesias, called the Deputy Attorney General in addition to the Attorney General.
Gonzalez himself called him?
Senator Domenici personally called Alberto Gonzalez three different times.
Right.
In an effort to get David Iglesias fired. And then also called, for good measure, the Deputy Attorney General, Gonzalez's number two. So he complained four times directly. His chief of staff complained continuously to the White House.
And was there any other reason for the complaint other than this voter fraud issue, that he wouldn't bring the cases that he wanted him to bring? Did they find out any other?
Well, there was another thing. There was some corruption investigations of Democrats going on in New Mexico. And in 2006, the congressional elections, Heather Wilson, the congresswoman there, thought that he should have indicted somebody or brought indictments before the election to help her get elected. And she called him and kind of leaned on him, according to the report. And then Senator Domenici, who was trying to get him fired, called him right before the election and said, are there going to be any indictments brought? And Iglesias has since said this was highly inappropriate and improper, and he felt kind of pressure to kind of bring a case when it shouldn't have been brought.
Meanwhile,
but they were hoping that these indictments would be brought
because
this congresswoman was actually in New Mexico at the time, was in this razor tight race with to retain her seat against New Mexico's attorney general.
And And by the way, she should have challenged that election because it was really close. And candidates like her need to stand up and not concede elections until they actually count all the damn votes. I don't think that's asking too much. Speaking with Murray Wass from ABC, Atlantic, whoever else will have him. Murray, moving back then to Missouri, they were successful Todd Graves was replaced. He was replaced by Brad Schlossman, and in fact, he was willing to bring voter fraud cases just prior to elections, even though that is against the DOJ bylaws, right?
Well, 4 days before the election,
yeah,
he brought criminal charges against these workers for this group called Acorn,
yep,
saying that they did phony ballots or whatever. He was in such a hurry. Well, first of all, the people who work for him and the people at DOJ said, our guidelines, our rules are you don't indict before an election because it gives the appearance or actually is the intent to affect the election and puts the entire Department of Justice reputation at risk. But he did that anyway. He brought the indictment, mm-hmm, and he was so emphatic or wanting to bring this indictment so badly that what he did was, in one instance, he indicted the wrong person. There was a person who they meant to indict,
right,
and there was someone with a similar name. So this poor woman,
yeah, I remember,
wakes
that
up one day and to federal marshals knocking at her door or arresting her or whatever.
Yeah.
She's the totally wrong person. And I don't know of a single – I kind of asked around, because if you asked about it, it would be one of those things that's an urban myth or something, and someone with the same name.
Yeah, no, it was true.
Indicted.
I remember it was true. I spoke with the Missouri Secretary of State Robin Carnahan's office, and they pointed out that very thing. And yeah, what did they have to do? They had to unindict them and cancel the whole thing, and then reindict the person they meant to. Is that what happened?
I guess. Well, I'm sure they dropped the charge against the poor woman who wasn't the person they meant to charge. And then the woman they indicted had a breakdown of some kind. I'm not sure what the ultimate disposition of those charges were, but it wasn't exactly the most earth-shattering, you know, case
in
the world.
And all four, as I recall, all four of those charges were dismissed, were they not?
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, as I recall, it was one of these Acorn cases, and these are the guys, you're going to hear about them more and more between here and November 4th. Speaking with Murray Watts, give us a call if you like, 800-989-1480. We will take your calls momentarily, and in the next segment, if Murray's flu is will allow you to stay with us. By the way, there's
some other breaking news.
Oh, you got it? What'd you got?
Barack Obama has, according to a CBS News New York Times poll, has taken a commanding lead, one way beyond statistically significant lead, according to the Times, over McCain, 49% for Obama, 40% for McCain.
A nine-point
margin.
Yeah, and I see another one, AP poll. I don't know if it's the same one. AP is reporting there's a seven-point lead over McCain. Don't believe it. Don't buy it, because you haven't seen the November surprise yet. Murray Wass, hang in there if you can. You feeling all right? Stay with us?
Sure.
All right, we're going to take your calls. Give us a call, 800-989-1480. Lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. It's 44 after. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Malloy tonight. We're speaking with Murray Wass from ABC News and Atlantic, and I keep forgetting, Harper's, yeah, and occasionally National Journal and stuff like that, talking about this U.S. attorney purge. No, this isn't a flashback. Yes, this still matters. It even matters as much, as far as I'm concerned, as this $700 billion bailout package that they have passed in the Senate tonight just minutes ago. The reason this matters, the reason the U.S. attorney purge, in case you're not paying attention, at the very heart of it, is elections, and is this phony voter fraud nonsense. I started to talk a little bit about Acorn, the Republicans' favorite whipping boy at this point. You're going to hear all kinds of stuff about voter fraud. This group, Acorn, who's they have registered millions of low-income voters, and the Republicans love to say that they're out there committing voter fraud. Well, they're not. And here's what's happening, and here's what they don't tell you. The fact is, Acorn verifies, calls up every single registration that they bring in. Every single phone number that they get, they call to verify. If they can't verify it, they flag the registration as possibly fraudulent. But what the Republicans don't tell you when they say that Acorn turned in all these fraudulent registration forms, Acorn has to turn them in by law. They can't just throw away registration forms. No, that's left to the Republican registration people. In this case, they've got to turn it in. They tell the officials, hey, we believe these are fraudulent, or they're missing information and so forth. The thanks they get is these jerks, these election officials, and they're not all jerks, but some of them are, turn around and say, hey, Acorn is giving us thousands of phony registration, blah, blah, blah. It's a phony case. And you're going to hear a lot about that. Anyway, that is at the very heart of this U.S. attorney purge, where they're pushing these guys out because they won't bring in phony voter fraud. And, of course, phony voter fraud charges, pushing out their own people. And the IG wasn't able to get to it. The Department of Justice's own IG wasn't able to get to the matter. So now they've recommended it. That it be taken up by a special prosecutor, and that'll be Nora R. Danahy. Murray Wass, what do we know about Nora R. Danahy, and will she be able to get to the bottom of this issue?
Well, it's unclear, because she's not a special prosecutor in that she's independent of the Department of Justice. Like, Pat Fitzgerald was a special prosecutor who had these extraordinary powers and authorities to bring indictments, to subpoena people. So she has to go to the Deputy Attorney General or go to her supervisors before she can subpoena people from the White House, before she can do just about anything.
She's got to get permission to do
these things? Yeah, Patrick Fitzgerald was what his boss called the de facto Attorney General. He's given, even though he was under the Department of Justice, he's giving this authority to indict people, to bring charges, to haul people before a grand jury, to impanel a grand jury. This woman doesn't have that power. She's what they call a de facto U.S. attorney.
Murray, they're doing nothing but running out the clock at this point. They've run it out this far. They're prepared to pardon these folks. Do you have any reason to believe that they wouldn't just pardon these folks in advance to cut this thing off at the knees before they leave office, Murray?
You can't indict without charges, so running out the clock might not be the best strategy for some of these guys.
What do you mean you can't indict without charges? You mean you can't
pardon? I mean, you can't pardon without an indictment first. You can't
pardon someone
without a charge being brought.
You're sure about that?
Nixon was, but I think that was a special case. I don't know.
They can do a preemptive pardon. Let me get to a caller here real quick. Marilyn in Los Angeles. Listening on K-Talk, AM 1150, we hope. Marilyn, welcome to the Molloy Show. Oh, I got to do that, don't I? I'll figure this out. Okay, there we go. Now we got her. Marilyn?
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Marilyn. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. I've actually seen you in person here, Brad. You're amazing.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you. I would wish you would speak to the Don Siegelman case, which is another aspect of the corruption in the Attorney General's office and DOJ, because those attorneys in Alabama did the political hit on Don Siegelman and flipped his votes, and they didn't get fired, but the people who got fired were the ones who wouldn't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that sounds about right, and we can. I'll try to remember to bring that up with Cliff Arnebeck in the next hour. He may have some thoughts on that. Thanks for the call, Marilyn. Any thoughts on how this all ties into the U.S. attorneys down in Alabama and this Don Siegelman case, Murray Wass?
I haven't really followed the Siegelman case, so I can't speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything, the fact that we're even discussing it or have suspicions about something, you ordinarily want think this way about your Department of Justice, and hopefully things will get back to normal sometime soon.
I don't have a lot of confidence in that ever happening, and at least not for many years, because these people, these guys, what we know about Monica Goodling, these career attorneys that they were hiring, these people have infiltrated, so to speak, the Department of Justice like a virus, as far as I'm concerned. And these people who were hired, not supposed to be political, but they were hired for political reasons, you know, if they believed they were Democratic, if they believed they were gay, they weren't hired. Those people now are going to be in this Department of Justice. They're career hires. They're going to be there for years, Murray.
Well, it remains to be seen how many, but I think it's more of an issue of good people who were turned down or good people who left, whether they're U.S. attorneys, work in the Civil Rights Division, whoever they are. They've gone out in the private sector. They've got jobs where they're making twice as much money now. They're not going back. Younger people who were denied entry, who should have been given entry-level jobs, are working in private firms now. So you lost the oldest generation of the best employees and the youngest as well.
I think it's going to be with us for years to come, no matter what happens this November. Murray Wass, thank you very much for fighting through your cold to be here with us. Really appreciate it, and appreciate all of the work that you're the investigative work that you're doing, Murray.
Thanks again.
Thank you, brother. All right, Murray Wass from ABC, Harper's, whoever else will have him. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Oh, we got a lot of show ahead. Cliff Arnebeck joining us in the next hour. And your calls, and I really will take them this time if you give us a call, 800-989-1480. Talk about what the hell is going on in this election. Guess what? Check out bradblog.com. They're screwing up the ballots in Ohio again. Knock me over with a feather. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stick with us.